Thank you. Christ is the light of the world. As we observe the lighted candles, let us remember these words from the Gospel of John. The true light that enlightened every person is coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him.
It's good to be with you on this Holy of Weeks. This evening we delve into the story. We delve into our story. We delve into God's story as we prepare ourselves for all that is to come. You've heard me say that you can't experience the light of Easter in its fullness unless you experience the darkness of this week. I firmly believe that. But I absolutely love Holy Week. Holy Week is a very special and powerful thing because as special and as powerful as it is one of the most relatable parts of our Christian story. Each and every day of this Holy Week helps us come to know God and know the role of Jesus in a new way. On Sunday, with the palm branches, there was jubilation, the arrival of a political leader who would overthrow unjust systems. It can be relatable to know a world where we need God to come and overturn unjust systems. On Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday of this week, we find Jesus teaching people, healing people, being with people. This is a relatable thing. We know what it's like to need healing, and not just physical. We know what it's like to need to learn and want to know more. We know what it's like to just want to be together. Then Thursday comes, and Jesus gathers at a table, and a meal is shared. We call this day Maundy Thursday, and it comes from a word that means instruct. Jesus instructs the disciples. He says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." He breaks bread. He washes feet. This is a relatable moment. We know brokenness. We know what it is to need to be served. We also know how uncomfortable it can be to have others serve us. We also know what it is to feel that strong desire to serve others. We hear the echo of that instruction. Love one another as I have loved you. On Friday we see a day of pain, of rejection, of loneliness, of everything falling apart for Jesus. This is relatable. We've had that day. Now, we may not have ended up on a cross, but we've had that day when we feel alone, like everything's coming undone, and we don't know when it is up, and we feel like God is absent, and we just cry out, "Why have you forsaken me?" That's a real day. Then there's that Saturday. The Bible doesn't say much about Saturday, which says something. It's a day where no one knew what was going to happen next. Loss, uncertainty, deep questioning and fear. These are very real things, and they are part of our Christian story. To be God's people, just sitting in that place, that's relatable. This is our Holy Week. It's a relatable week because it's the human story lived out in the most divine way for us all. Our evening begins with the light brought in, the light we see arrive at Christmas, the light that represents Jesus' life, a light that would be a light to the world. Many people chose to pursue this light. The Bible tells us that Jesus called 12 apostles, as well as other people. Jesus speaks to them saying, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand. And it gives light to all the house. Let your light so shine before others that they might see your good works and give glory to your Creator in heaven."
Jesus calls Simon Peter to be a disciple. He also calls his brother Andrew. As Jesus walks by the Sea of Galilee, he sees two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they are fishermen. And he says to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they leave their nets and follow.
Then Jesus calls James to be a disciple. He also calls his brother John. And going from there, he saw two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and followed.
And Jesus calls Thomas to be his disciple.
Jesus calls Matthew to be a disciple.
He also calls Judas Iscariot. Jesus calls Philip.
Jesus calls Simon the Zealot, as well as James, the son of Alphaeus.
And Bartholomew.
And Thaddeus.
And on that holy week, Jesus gathered with those disciples to share a meal. I invite you to grab your green hymnal, if you would, and join us in singing number 3168, "Come to the Table of Grace."
Table of grace. This is God's table. It's not yours or mine. Come to the table.
As we enter into this sacred time of communion together, we will share in prayers and responses and music together, all of which are found in your bulletin. Let us pray together. Loving God, prepare us to receive all that you offer as we celebrate your unending grace. May we embrace it and live in such a way that all might be blessed. Let my prayer rise up like incense before you, the lifting up of my hands as an offering to you. O God, I call to you, my prayer rise up like incense before you, the lifting up of my hands as an offering to you. Keep watch within me, God, deep in my heart may the light of your love be burning bright. Let my prayer rise up like incense before you, the lifting up of my hands as an offering to you. All praise to the God of all, Creator of life. All praise be to Christ and the Spirit of love. Let my prayer rise up like incense before you, the lifting up of my hands as an offering to you.
Let us give thanks together because we are truly blessed.
It is good to be God's people.
We are known and loved
by a God who has created us.
Even in our failures,
God's love remains.
God reaches out to us
in this and every moment,
changing our lives
in ways we cannot comprehend.
Lamb of God, you take away the sin of
mercy on us.
Lamb of God, you call us to the way of your cross.
Have mercy on us, mercy on us, mercy on us.
Lamb of God, you are the way of mercy and love.
Have mercy on us, mercy on us, mercy on us.
Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world.
Grant us peace, grant us peace. Grant us peace.
God, you certainly are good. You have given everything to us, including the choice to worship you. And so, in this place, we have come together to be your people in praise.
And as we praise you, we celebrate the life story and the gift of Jesus, your Son, and the ultimate example of the depth of your love for us. A love Jesus was demonstrating for his disciples when he gathered his friends, just as we are now, to share a meal.
For when they were gathered, Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, and saying, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you, to remind you of the fullness of my love for you."
And after the meal, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and blessed it, saying, "This is my life poured out for you and for many. Remember me and my love every time you drink from it."
Jesus offered this simple and beautiful way for those who love him to remember and celebrate a mystery of faith we will never fully understand, but we can fully experience.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy.
For the reign of God and for peace throughout the world, for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Have come to give you praise for the strength to live your word. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, and defend us, O
God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them for us the body and the love of Christ so that in turn we might be the body of Christ for the world. Make us one in your Spirit, Lord, bound together through your grace, that we might live more loving lives because we have received your love so freely in Jesus, the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. At Highlands United Methodist Church, communion is open to all people. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your background. This is God's table given to all, just as we see in the story of Holy Week. I invite you this evening to come forward at your own desire. No ushers, no row by row. If you feel moved to come and receive, when you feel that movement, you come, you receive. If you'd like to take a moment and kneel at the rail, please do so. If you need a gluten-free option, you let me know. It'll be provided. If you need it brought to you at your seat, let a neighbor know. They'll tell me. We'll meet you right where you are. This is God's gift for all of God's people. Let us be grateful as we share in the grace.
Thank you.
It is just before the Passover feast. Having loved his friends, Jesus now shows them the full extent of that love. During the evening meal, Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, is plotting to betray Jesus. Jesus gets up from the meal, takes off his outer clothes, and wraps a towel around his waist. After that, he takes a pitcher and pours water into a basin, and he begins to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that is wrapped around him.
He comes to Simon Peter, who says to him, "Lord, you are going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replies, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," Peter says, "you shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answers, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me."
When he has finished washing their feet, he puts on his clothes and returns to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asks them. "You can call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you."
"My children, I shall not be with you very much longer. And now I give you a new commandment. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. If you have love for one another, then everyone will know you are my disciples."
Oh.
Jesus goes with his disciples across the Kidron Valley, where there is a garden. Now Judas, who betrays him, also knows of this place, for Jesus often meets there with his friends. So Judas, procuring a band of soldiers from the high priest, goes there with lanterns and torches and weapons.
Then Jesus comes forward and says to them, "Whom do you seek?" Judas is standing with them. They say, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answers, "I am he."
Then Simon Peter, having a sword, draws it and strikes the high priest's slave, cutting his ear.
Jesus says to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink of the cup which God has given me?" So the soldiers seize Jesus, bind him, and lead him to the high priest. Simon Peter follows Jesus, and so does another disciple. As this disciple is known to the high priest, he goes with Jesus into the courtyard, while Peter stands outside the door. So the other disciple goes back out, speaks to the girl at the gate, and brings Peter inside.
The girl at the gate says to Peter, "Aren't you also one of the disciples of that man?" "No, I'm not," answers Peter. "It's so cold that the servants build a charcoal fire and stand around it warming themselves." And so Peter goes over there and stands with them warming himself.
While they are inside, the high priest questions Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. Jesus answers, "I have always spoken publicly to everyone. All my teaching is done in the synagogue and in the temple, where all the people come together."
Peter is still standing outside, keeping himself warm. One of the others says to him, "Aren't you also one of the disciples of that man?" But Peter denies it. "No, I'm not," he says. Another of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut, speaks up, "But didn't I see you with him in the garden?" Again, Peter says, "No," and at once a rooster crows.
Early in the morning, Jesus is taken from Caiaphas' house to the governor's palace. Then Pilate says to them, "I cannot find any reason to condemn him, but according to the custom you have, I always set free a prisoner for you during the Passover. Do you want me to set free for you the king of the Jews?"
They answer him with a shout, "No, not him. We want Barabbas." Then Pilate takes Jesus and has him whipped. The soldiers make a crown out of thorn branches and put it on his head. Then they put a purple robe on him and come to him and say, "Long live the King of the Jews." And they go up and slap him.
Pilate goes back out once more and says to the crowd, "Look, I will bring him out here to you to let you see that I cannot find any reason to condemn him." So Jesus comes out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. When the chief priest and the temple guards see him, the crowd begins to shout, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him!"
Pilate says to them, "You take him then and crucify him. I find no reason to condemn him."
As they lead him away, they seize Simon from Cyrene, who's on his way in from the country, and they put the cross on him and make him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people follow him, including women who mourn and wail. And Jesus turns to them and says, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children."
Two other men, both criminals, are also led out with him to be executed. When they come to the place called the Skull, there they crucify him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." And they divide up his clothes by casting lots.
The people stand watching. The rulers, they sneer at him. They say, "Well, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is this Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also come up, and they mock him. They offer him vinegar, and they say, "If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself." One of the criminals hurls insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and save us."
But the other criminal rebukes him. "Don't you fear God," he says, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answers him, "I will tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise."
It is now about the sixth hour, and darkness comes over the whole land until the ninth hour. For the sun stops shining, and the curtain of the temple is torn in two. Jesus calls out with a loud voice, "God, into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he has said this, he breathes his last. Joseph unfolds a linen cloth and lays it on the ground. It's a close woven and white. It's a little longer than the human frame and twice as wide. It is his shroud. Joseph leans a ladder on the far side of the cross and he climbs it. He draws ropes around the chest beneath the shoulders of our Lord, and he throws the loose ends to his servants. With force and the sorrow that there must be force, he wrenches the spikes from the crossbar. The body slumps forward against the ropes. Joseph descends and stands below the body. "Lower him," he whispers. By sad degrees, the body of the Lord sinks down to Joseph, who receives the torso in his right arm, and the head falls back. Jesus is so light. The body without the sounding breath is pitifully light and little.
Joseph kneels and lays him on the shroud and begins to wind him for his burial. Somewhere a woman sighs, once, just once. Who is that? The door to the tomb is a hole in stone, no higher than a human waist. Joseph goes in backward on his knees, bearing the shoulders of Jesus. The servant keeps the legs from dragging in the dirt. "Thank you, it is enough," says Joseph, his voice enormous because of the rock around him. He disposes of the body alone and then emerges. There is a descending groove from the left to the front of the door. Joseph rolls a flat stone down this groove. The door is closed. The deed is done.